Well, maybe we should like jump into this opening thing. You ready?
Wait, yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. You keen?
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
And welcome to What Would Jarek Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast.
As always, I'm Chad.
And I'm Eric.
And we'll be your co-hosts on...
Excuse me, folks.
On this... yeah, that really hit me out of left field.
You weren't ready for that one. It was too early for the burp.
Too early for the belch.
Really got Chad off track here. But no worries, because on this podcast, folks, what we do is we read Choose Your Own Adventure books, and we debate the shit out of choices, and we have a wonderful time doing it.
Yeah.
And here we are again for another episode with a very intriguing book.
Yeah. This book... I feel has perplexed so many people throughout the history of the human race.
It's true.
So many books have been penned on this particular topic.
True.
That the mystery and the mysticism surrounding this book is somewhat unparalleled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Public Library, Choose Your Own... No, I'm just kidding.
The Public Library.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really exciting book.
It could be.
It definitely could be. I mean, with RA, for sure,
you
could make it an interesting story.
It would make it an amazing story.
But that's not the story for today.
No.
The book that we will be reading today is Choose Your Own Adventure number 19, Forecast... from Stonehenge. Now, I'm really curious because the wording of this title is very intriguing to me. It's forecast. Forecast from Stonehenge. So I want to know what ominous forecast Stonehenge has to share with us.
Like BBC4 doing a weather spot in front of Stonehenge, like, today the high temperature will be 63.
And is that who these weird, like, creepy beaming eye people are? Is that the BBC network?
Yep.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's not what I would have expected.
That's what TV looks like in England.
TV.
You're welcome.
Demonic. Wow, that's scary, man.
Hey, that's BBC for you. Please don't sue us, British Broadcasting Company.
It was a joke!
Like, it's just a joke. I love your programming.
Sherlock is the best!
Sherlock, like Downton Abbey, like all of it.
Yeah.
I love it. Please don't sue us.
Well, there. We've plugged BBC now. We're going to plug Jarek. Please tweet, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got to do. We'd love... to share this with even more people. So if you love it, like we love it, then please let it be known.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
And like the easiest way you could do that for us is to just rate and review us on iTunes. Pop on there. Give us a quick rating and review.
Five stars.
Six maybe.
Six. Definitely a six would be nice.
Yeah. And
even a 5.5. We take
it'll
that.
It'll really help get the word out there to the rest of the world. So that way, Jarek can be shared with all.
You know, he's really like a universal treasure.
He is a national treasure for sure, budding international treasure.
You know, we got listeners in Cairo.
Really?
Yeah.
Egypt.
Yeah.
Man.
How about that? We just keep on spreading the love of Jarek.
Cash me outside. How about that?
Hey, Chad, how about you tell me how you found these books, yo? And got me started here talking on this podcast with you, bro.
I can't. I'm not hood like that. I grew up in rural Kansas. And I read these books, as a young lad. Discovered them in elementary school or primary school, as our friends in England would say. Friends. Emphasis on friends.
Not acquaintances. Not enemies.
Not enemies.
But friends.
And, I loved them. I had several of them. We got them, through the annual, book fair. And that's my history. And I discovered them on a trip home about a year ago. was sitting on a dusty bookshelf, and I'm like, these were awesome. We need to share them with the world. But Eric, what about you? How did you discover these texts, or what's your history with them?
I certainly wasn't sharing them with the world, but at the time, I was working at Glenhurst Funeral Home.
And what city was that in?
That was in Bakersville.
Okay.
California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. So yeah, I was working at the funeral home, and you know, corpsifying corpses isn't a terribly fun job.
Definitely not.
So to help pass the time, and you know, it was kind of a smaller town, so it's not like we had dead people every day.
Sure.
So sometimes I'd pick up one of these books because, strangely enough, there was a small little library in one of like the waiting rooms and the grieving rooms. So like you could just pick something up if you wanted to take your mind off of things. They had a couple of these books, so occasionally when they didn't have anything to do, I would just go check them out and read them and grieve over the terrible choices I made. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, so they were good times, but yeah, I just had to move on from being a mortician. You know, that wasn't really my jam.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked the life out of me.
Kind of a dead-end job.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really morbid and just not exciting.
Yeah, you found it kind of stiff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You got any more? You just want to hit me?
No.
No? That was it?
I think dead-end job. Well, no stiff.
I thought you had more jokes, Chad. That's cold.
Cold.
Okay, well.
Solid pun.
So, now that we've punned our way through this, let's say we dive in.
Yeah, I'm into it. Let's roll.
All right, well.
Forecast from Stonehenge.
Yes.
Choose Your Own Adventure 19, penned by the legendary, rest his soul, rest in peace.
All of the above.
All of the above. We love him. We miss him. R.A. Montgomery.
Yes, indeed. Wish we could have met him. Oh, well. But he did inspire us to come together and form the wonderful combination of a man who is known as...
Cherick!
Intriguing.
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
My friend Chad would say.
Indubitably.
All right, well...
Okay, let me set the stage.
Yeah, there's a little bit to catch up on.
Okay, we were on a trip in Greece. P.S. This is totally modern times. There's blogs and cell phones and whatever. This
also, like, we're British.
Also, we're British. So, there's blogs. So, I'm going to go with, like, 2012-ish. Because, like, people were still blogging then.
Nice. You don't think anybody's blogging anymore?
Some people are. But it's not near as popular as it used to be.
I guess that's fair.
Okay, so, like, this guy, we were blogging on our vacation to Greece, like, unless we're, like, a professional travel blogger, like, it's 2012. Okay. you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
I mean, I know. But also, Chad, it's 2017, man.
Not in this book.
I know. But yeah, okay, never know.
Okay.
No, just keep going.
Okay, so we've been in Greece, and we come back, and immediately the first thing that happens is our cell phone rings, and it's our friend Twig. And he's like, what's up, bro? And we're like, hey, hon. He's like, oh my gosh, I need you to go to Stonehenge. Like, this, like, interrupts us, like, before we can even get anything out of our mouths. He's like, I need you to go to Stonehenge right now. We're like, how you doing? Nice to meet you. How's your trip? He's like, I read all about your trip on your blog. I need to go to Stonehenge.
Okay.
Right now.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You missed kind of the best part in all of this. Okay. So his name is Twig, right?
Yeah.
And we say, hey, what? Like, come on, ask us how we are. Say hello. And you know what? Do you know what R.A. wrote? He wrote, Twig snaps. I was cracking my shit up, bro. You just read it. You were like, Twig snaps. Blah, 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 blah. And I was crying because of How funny I thought that was. All right, that was a magnificent, magnificent little piece of writing there. Oh my god, it was so fantastic. Anyway, so twig snapped.
And anyway, he says, I need to go to Stonehenge. We're like, why? He's like, I had a hiking accident. I broke like six ribs. And my collarbone.
Good lord.
I need you to go meet this guy. His name is Alistair. He's gonna be like, he's 5'6". He's gonna be wearing druid robes with like silver thread. Go meet this dude. And you're like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought nobody, we're like, we realize it's a summer solstice. And we're like, which is like a very sacred thing for Stonehenge and like the ancient druids and like it's the longest day of the year and like the sun sets between these two megaliths in Stonehenge. And we're like, I didn't think they let anybody in Stonehenge on the solstice because of like this reason. And they're all like, yeah, no, this is the first time. Go meet Alistair. He's like, of course, I'll cover all your expenses. Just roll, get this done. If you run into problems, call me.
Okay, but why we're doing this is because of the heal stone?
The heal stone.
So there was a stone that went missing around the 1920s.
Yeah.
Called the heal stone. And right. This guy, Alistair, thinks he knows where it is.
Exactly. So that's why, there's a photo from 1853 showing the heal stone.
Yes.
Then in the 1920s, they rebuilt Stonehenge. And the heel stone went missing. So this is like post-World War I? They like rebuilt Stonehenge.
So we know who built Stonehenge.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the government.
The 1920 government.
Yeah, like English, you know, aristocracy.
Well, now I just feel lied to.
But the heel stone, missing.
Gone.
And so it's like one of the big like controversies and like conspiracies and mysteries of Stonehenge. Like, where's the heel stone? Like, it's big, heavy stone. Like, where did it go? And this guy, Alistair, he's like, I know where it is.
So we're going to meet him.
So we're like, you know, okay, fine, whatevs. Like, I just got home, literally just, but whatever. So we take a cab to Stonehenge. We're, like, lucky that we, like, make it there just in time because it was only, like, 3 hours to sundown when we left.
Parking is crazy.
Of course it is. It's the first time Stonehenge has been open in 30 years.
Oh, but wait.
On the summer solstice. But we roll up there.
It's not open.
And it's not open at all. People are standing around. They're like, the cops aren't letting anybody in.
The police have it completely blocked off.
But we meet this fairy.
She's a beautiful fairy.
A beautiful fairy named Elaine. And she has blue wings.
Yay!
And she's like, hey, do you want to get into Stonehenge? Do you want to, you went up all up in there? And we're like, actually, yeah, like I don't know.
We're looking for a guy.
We're looking for a guy, like.
And we're supposed to meet him by one of the stones.
Yeah, like by one of the megaliths.
Yeah.
And, but maybe he's out here, or maybe he's out there. We're like, have you seen him? He's like, supposed to be dressed as a druid. He's wearing black robes with silver threading. And she's like, you mean Alistair?
And we're like, what? You know this guy?
And we're like trying to think, like, did we ever say his name?
Yeah, we didn't mention his name. Like, no, like, we for no, sure we didn't mention his didn't name. Not a bit. Not no, never.
Not once.
Well, but turns out he's like a lead druid dude.
What's the word? Archdruid.
Archdruid.
Yeah. And he's one of the archdruids. And so Elaine's like, I know a secret passage into Stonehenge, underground passage, past the cops, just underneath this hisier hill.
Is this here, Jimmy?
Hizzy here.
Hizzy here. This hizzy her hill?
This hizzy her hill.
This hizzy her hole.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's a barrow. It's a barrow in England. And she's like, go underneath this barrow. And then you're in Stonehenge. Bing, bang, boom. And you can meet Alistair. He's already in there. It took him through. a while back.
So the choice is,
if we decide to take Elaine's offer and go into the tunnel into the Barrow Mound, turn to page 19. If we choose to stay and keep looking for Alistair outside of the gates, turn to page 9.
Chat.
Yes.
Let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
If we know that Alistair has already been led through the tunnel to Stonehenge, why in the world would we stay out here looking for him?
Well, I was just curious about that same fact, and I'm just scanning the text in case I misspoke. And it does not actually say...
That she took him through?
That she took him through.
She just knows who he is.
She just knows who he is. She knows of Alistair.
Okay.
But it does not actually say...
That he was one of the people that she already took through.
Correct.
No matter that, we're supposed to be meeting him by one of the stones.
Correct. That's the plan.
I think we should go in the tunnel.
I think we should go in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, if he knows Elaine, or Elaine knows... So he might be just, like, super famous.
Or
first off.
Super famous among druids.
Among, like, this circle of, like, people.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, Elaine may have heard of him, knows his name, knows how he dresses, but is, like, not by any means his friend.
Hmm. True.
Okay, just like I know the mayor.
Do you?
I met him once.
But you're not his friend.
Correct. But I could describe to you, like, who the mayor of Kansas City is. Oh, you mean Mayor Sly James. Yeah, he always wears a bow tie, right?
Does he really?
Yeah.
What a classy man.
He's a classy guy. But see how now I appeared like I know Mayor Sly James?
Definitely.
Even though, in fact, I know nothing.
Wait, you know nothing? You know, he wears bow ties.
That's it.
But that's not nothing.
I have a picture with him, but that's it.
Bitchin'!
But everybody does.
Oh. Not bitchin'. That's lame.
Yeah, but you see my point.
I do.
So, like, Elaine might not be, like, BFFs with Alistair.
She just knows about him.
Potentially.
He's a druid celeb.
And she might be trying to, like, lure us into a trap.
But she's a fairy.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Don't do it.
We haven't done that bit in a while.
That's true. That one hasn't come back in a few eps. But the question is it a trap?
Is it a trap? It's a trap.
I don't feel like it is. Elaine seems like a really lovely young lady to me.
I kind of, like, am leaning towards trusting her and going with her. I just want to make sure that we're looking at every side.
I just feel like if we go into this tunnel with her, we could really start a nice relationship and maybe hit it off. I'm just saying.
You're looking for a romantic relationship with Elaine?
I'm just saying that maybe some possibilities could happen. She's super cute and she's dressed up as a blue fairy. I'm just saying that maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know if my emotions are really getting in the way here, but I feel like we should go with her.
It's less about the game and more about the game. That's F1.
There's a throwback for you.
That's the pilot, y'all. Okay. Okay. Let's go into the Barrow Tunnel.
Let's do it.
And see where Elaine takes us.
Bum bum bum.
It could go either way.
It could.
This.
But I'm excited.
Okay. Here
let's
we
do
go. We're turning to page 19.
Okay, well, we've reached a very interesting decision. But first, let's catch up here. So we ask Elaine to take us to Alistair.
Yep.
And she says he and the other archdruids are, they use the entrance that she knows of. So she's like, come with me. And she takes her hand, and she introduces us to the rest of the fairies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them shouts, welcome, human! Which caught me off guard. Like, are these druid fairy things alien people? Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
We're a thought traveler, though.
This is true. But Elaine hushes that person. And tells one of their friends to distract the guards, which they do. And then we run to the barrow and find this ornate door in the side of the hill with carvings, but no doorknob. She punches out like an elaborate like knock on the carvings, and the door whips inward, and a small hand beckons us inside and down a steep winding hallway lit by torches. We arrive in a huge dining hall, like maybe the biggest room that we've ever seen before in our lives. And it's got just tables and chairs filled with fairy people. And most of them most of the chairs are full. People are throwing confetti and laughing and talking, and it's a jolly, jolly scene. But there don't seem to be any druids anywhere, or especially arch-druids.
Curious.
So Elaine asks someone about Alistar for us. And one of the druids, one of the fairies says that the druids departed some time ago for Stonehenge, but that he doesn't think Alistar was actually with them. Just then, a fairy in green stands up and kind of inaugurates the festivities, and everything gets going, and the food comes out, and the rump roast, and the mashed potatoes, and all the pie, and... you know, Elaine asks us if we want to stay and eat, and we say, hey, you know, we really like to find Alistar, but our mouth is watering, and we suddenly remember a nursery rhyme from our preschool days.
Okay.
So we're reaching real far back
Real far back.
And the nursery rhyme was, eat a fairy's food, become a fairy's slave. And we wonder just how... seriously to take that. It was just a nursery rhyme, right?
Yeah.
But maybe it's time to return to the park to see if Alistar is waiting for us. So our decision is, if we would like a quick refresher lesson in the ways of fairies before we make our choice, we turn to page 26. If we would like to make our choice without reading up on fairies, we turn to page 25. So it really just, we have to decide how much we want to learn about fairies.
Do you want to learn more about fairies, or are you just like, nah, fuck it, I got this?
Well, like, also, are these real fairies? Do they have anything to actually share with us? What's going on?
Just people dressed up as fairies.
Right. Right?
Right?
I don't know.
It's just cosplay.
So... we have to make a decision to make our decision, essentially, I think, is what's happening here. Do we want to learn more about fairies before we make our choice?
No?
Really? Because I feel like maybe we want to... don't we want to make the most educated...
I feel like we always wish that we had more information.
Right, and now it's actually allowing us to get
now more information. Now it's like, do you want more information? Because I'll give it to you in the form of an ending.
Do you think?
I don't know. No, I don't think he would do that.
I don't know.
I feel like after reading now 11 and a half of RA's books, like, I feel like I know that this will not be an ending on either side. Like, I'm in his headspace, you know? Here's the thing. I feel like we're smart enough to make this choice without more information about fairies.
Okay.
And, like, we're looking for druids.
Right.
Right? And they said the druids went through and that Alistair was not with them.
Right.
And so we should, like, forego this festivity.
And go back up.
You know, or whatever. Like, I just feel like we don't need more information to make our decision. Either our decision needs to be, like, go to the henge where the other druids are, about Alistair, mm-hmm. or, like, go back to the parking lot and, like, see if we can find him and, like, wait.
So you want to just go on to make our choice?
I feel like the fairies are a distraction. And I feel like any story arc that happens after, like, learning more about them is frivolous.
Okay, but what if we learn more about Elaine? And how pure and beautiful her heart is, and how much we're meant to be together.
You think you're meant to be with Elaine. For me, she was a means to an end.
Ouch. That's cold, bro. Did you see the way that she looked at us?
I am cold and logical.
Okay, sometimes. Well, I'm the soft emotional side of Cherrick. Yeah.
And that's why we work well together. Elaine will like us either way.
I mean, I guess that's true, especially if
we're
she really
likes
us. We're
going to learn more about fairies, not about Elaine.
Okay, that's a fair point.
I think we should turn to page 25.
Okay, well, I'm with you on that.
Because this entire time, I just want to tell all of you this before we read it. And maybe we can just keep going instead of, like, pausing it.
We definitely will.
Because page 25 has one sentence on it.
Well, okay. So,
we've been looking at this page the entire time because it's adjacent to page 24 where we made the choice. And it has one sentence and then we make a choice.
But it makes sense for these choices. So our choice here is, if we would like a quick refresher lesson in the ways of fairies before we make our choice, turn to page 26.
Yeah, we said
or that. If we just want to make a choice without reading up on fairies, look over at page 25. And 25 says, make your decision below. And so our real decision here is now, if you decide to stay with Elaine in the large hall and risk eating the fairy feast before continuing your search for Alistair, turn to page 38. If you return above ground to look for Alistair immediately, turn to page 54. Now, you were definitely in the mindset of going back and looking for Alistair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a better option than eating this risky fairy feast.
This is why we were here. I feel like that fairy feast is full of hallucinogenic drugs.
Well, this is silly, Chad, because we just came all the way down here. Now we're going to go straight back up.
We came all the way down here under the guise that, like, Alistair was down here and she could get us into the Henge.
You're not wrong. Okay, well then I think we've decided to turn to page 54 and return above ground to look for Alistair immediately.
Immediately
and without haste! Or with haste!
With haste.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Haste will be had.
Haste, much haste.
Mucho hasto.
That was perfect.
Is that the real words?
Yes. No. Not at all. I think you got mucho.
I think I got mucho.
No habla español.
No.
Me no speaky. Okay.
Not even a little bit.
We're going to jump over to page 54. Right now. Hell's bells!
Some bitch.
Well, folks, We went to page 54, and we gracefully bowed out from our friend Elaine to say, hey, we should go back up top, check out what's happening with our buddy Alistair. And she grins mischievously at us, and she says, fairy time is different, you know. And we don't really know what she means by that.
Yeah, because we didn't learn anything about fairies.
Because we didn't learn anything about fairies, Chad. And then she laughs at us and says, go find Alistair, have fun. And she skips off laughing and hangs out with her other friends. And so we say goodbye, and we retrace our steps up top. The guard elf is talking on his cell phone and laughing and doesn't notice us as we step out the door. And as soon as we step outside, we notice that something's different. The light has changed,
yeah.
And it's late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We walk toward where the car park should be, but it's gone. We run a few feet forward, looking for the car park and the thousands of people that we know are there. And we see nothing, except for a horse-drawn carriage approaching from a dirt road. We wave it down and we say, hey, what's going on, man? And where is everybody? And the driver says, everybody? I have no idea what you're talking about. And so we're really confused, and we ask, we're in Amesbury, right? Near the Stonehenge Monument? And he says, Amesbury, right. 1844. And we say, 1844? And that's the end, folks. We are trapped in the year 1844. From 2012 to 1844, folks. That was a bummer. We obviously should have trusted those fairies, man.
Or learned more.
Or learned more about them and their tricksy ways.
I feel like I do know that fairies are tricksters.
Yeah. Well, somehow they tricked us back into 1844.
Bastards.
Good thing we have a respawn.
It is a good thing that we do.
Okay.
So I think we should use it.
I think now is the opportune moment to use it.
I don't feel like this. I feel like this podcast is far from over.
We have so much yet to discover.
Okay. So we didn't learn anything, and now
we learned nothing.
We're deciding then to eat their food and partake in their feast?
Well, theoretically, there's no decision here. Unless we want to implement these new rules which you have brought up.
Yes. So, everyone at home, we've been considering changing the rules up a little bit. Let me summarize. We get two respawns an episode. Everybody knows this.
And we're not changing that.
That is not changing. However, what is changing, potentially, is that on the first respawn, rather than just returning to the last choice that we made and taking the other route, that we could return to any choice that we have made thus far in the book and take the other half of that choice.
Perhaps one that struck us as very difficult or intriguing.
Or like, if we would have just done that, then we feel like we would be in a much better place.
Because there have certainly been like one choice. There's decisions that have had catastrophic events.
We don't have to. I could recite examples, but.
But we don't need to. You've heard them.
You know the choices where if we would have just done XYZ thing, like that whole podcast might have been different and we maybe wouldn't have died in a monsoon.
That freaking monsoon.
Every time. I'm going to come back to it. So, time and time again.
Okay. Implementing these new rules then.
I think we should let's field test the new rules.
Okay.
And I feel like, and so this is part of the new rules, is Eric and I will need to decide as
Cherick
which choice that we're going back to.
So we have three choices to choose from.
We have three choices.
Our very first choice, which we chose to go into the underground tunnel.
Yes.
We could instead choose to just stay up in the parking lot.
Stay up in the car park. Look for Alistair
there. Look for Alistair there.
We could,
like a quick refresher lesson.
A quick refresher on fairies.
On fairies.
And then the third choice, which we already know half of.
Yes. If we decide to stay with Elaine in a large hall and risk eating the fairy feast before continuing our search for Alistair. So we have staying in the parking lot, a quick refresher on fairies, or eating the fairy feast.
I feel like I was a bit... what's the right word? Foolish?
Rash?
Rash. In assuming that I knew all there was to know about berries. And I think that's the choice I would like to go back to.
You think maybe there's a lesson here, Chad?
To, like, learn more.
Do you think maybe that you've learned something about yourself here, Chad? Do you think maybe that Cherick has found some wisdom in this, Chad?
Potentially Cherick has found wisdom. I don't think Chad's learned shit. Personally, Cherick,
I'm dying.
Cherick might have, you know, gained something.
But Chad, but Chad, nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Cherick 17, Chad 0.
For sure.
Well, I am definitely interested in learning more about these fairies.
I think that's where I would go back to. I think I would go back to the choice about learning more about the fairies.
I'm in. Let's learn about these fairies.
Like, I don't think I want to go so far back as to just, like, wait in the parking lot. Because right. I feel like coming down here was a good idea.
Okay.
Because it got us, like, two steps closer to, like, being inside of Stonehenge.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm in for that. Let's turn to page 26 and get a quick refresher lesson in the ways of fairies.
Great. So
we literally learned something about fairies.
We literally learned things about fairies.
And then we turned back to page 25 to make our decision.
Make our decision.
But what did we learn, Chad?
Fairies are, they're mischievous.
They're human in appearance, but they have magical powers.
Oh, when they eat, they overindulge.
Yes, it's true. They can go a long time without eating. But when they do eat, they can overindulge and eat several times their body weight.
And their concept of time is different.
Absolutely. They do not like iron and won't go near it.
Yeah. I feel like that could be very important.
Yeah, that's like a setup for a payoff.
And humans who eat fairy food can be susceptible to their schemes, but like aren't under their control.
Yes, an actual enslavement is rare. Now that we've learned all of that,
what happens if we leave?
It's true. So we really only have one way to go, and that is to stay with Elaine
and eat the food
and risk being slightly hornswoggled into their mischievous plans.
Ooh, hornswoggled, good word.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah,
I was really kind of struggling there for a second, but then it just came to me.
Nice.
You know?
Okay, I want to read, though.
That's fair. I've been hogging this book. We'll turn to page 38, and Chad will read. Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Chad, I do not feel good about this decision we have to make.
Neither do I.
Also,
we have, like... so much ground to cover.
We have a lot to go over, folks. lots happened between the last 5 seconds for you.
For you.
For
me, I read for a bit.
That's true. I almost fell asleep.
Yep. I could tell. Okay. Okay, let me try to really summarize this in like 15 seconds.
Go.
You got 15 seconds on the clock.
And boop!
Okay, so we're eating with the fairy food, and it's super delicious, and we eat a lot of desserts. And then the queen comes, and she says, let's give thanks. And then we go upstairs with the queen to Stonehenge. And she sings a song, and she sings Sundown.
And done!
Ah.
Oh, wait, no, you still gotta go a lot.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, no. Okay, so, Chad, keep going.
Okay, so everybody goes upstairs from the feast, upstairs to Stonehenge, and they sing this song.
The song that Chad was singing.
Yeah.
But we don't need to hear that again.
Yeah, sundown, moonrise.
Moonrise, moonrise.
When it drops, wise eyes.
Wise eyes.
Yeah. And so she sings a song, and then she, like, collapses on the ground. Boom!
The queen does.
The queen.
Yeah.
The queen in green.
Oh, nice.
But then she wakes up. She's like, I'm fine. And then she, like, whispers something to her page, and everybody, like, starts to, like, murmur. And like, I don't know what's happening. This has never happened before. Okay. And so all that... jazz goes down. And then the page comes to us and he says, the queen wants to see you. And we're like, oh shit.
Fuckity shit.
That's not gonna be good.
All sorts of bad things.
P.S. They're real fairies. You know? Not people in fairy costumes.
Real fairies.
Real fairies.
I think once we read about the fairies and how serious that the book took them, I kind of made the connection that they were kind of real.
Yeah, no, real fairies. Yeah. And they prefer to be called fae, not fairies.
They're way ahead. Like, that's 21st century
fairies
stuff right there.
Fairies is such an old school term.
Like, you got fae, you got bae.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's 2012.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So they prefer to be called fae. Anyway, so... she explains that during the last few minutes when the sun goes down before the like moon comes up on the summer solstice at Stonehenge, which is like this like center, it's like this energy center for the earth, like it Mecca. Just like funnels in there, that she can get visions of the future. And she got a vision of a terrible fate that's going to befall both humans and the Fae.
Can we say forecast, maybe?
For
she sure. Got a forecast she got a... from Stonehenge?
That's the title of the book. And I like it.
We found it!
We found it!
We got the forecast!
We got the forecast. Partly cloudy with a chance of apocalypse.
That's not nearly as tasty as I was hoping for.
Anyway. So, okay, but then she says, what needs to be done, the Fae can't do it. She's like, we need your help. And she goes on to tell us that Stonehenge was built by, like, the combination of, like, three groups of people coming together. It was the humans,
mm-hmm.
the giants,
uh-huh.
and the Trow.
Oh, the Trow.
The Trow, and we're like, Trow? Qu'est-ce que c'est? You know, what is this?
Is it like the drop Trow?
No.
No.
No, they're like goblins. Oh. And she's like, I wouldn't call them goblins to their face right. if I were you.
Yeah, you call them a Trow.
But you might know them as goblins. And so, like, before we've had a chance to really, like, think it over, we feel this strong compulsion. And she's like, here's what I need you to do. I need you to either go to the giants or go to the Trow and see what they know and see if they can help.
Right.
And before we feel, like, before we get a chance to be like, no, thank you.
Oh, Chad,
I'm just going home. We feel this strong compulsion to say, like, yeah, nope, we're in. We'll help you out. And the choice is, who do we want to go talk to? If we want to go visit the giants, who we seemed to know
from the text. We didn't know that they existed. Yeah, they were like, oh, we think we know where they are.
Yeah. And probably not, like, Andre the giant.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
But does anybody want a peanut?
Or we could choose to go to the Trow.
So, when you were reading that, I thought our choice was going to be, do we accept her offer?
Do we accept her
do
offer?
Do we not accept her offer?
Sure.
And I was 1,000% going to not want to accept her offer.
Too late. We've accepted it.
I know. Because of that stupid fairy food that we ate, and we were so susceptible to their wishes.
Yeah, we have a strong compulsion to say yes, because we ate all their food.
We may not be a slave, but we are definitely wooed.
Wooed faux show.
So, that being said, I think we should go visit the giants.
Why?
Because I feel a certain connection to them.
Because you're tall?
Perhaps. They're my people, Chad. I gotta get back, bro.
We do seem to know more about the giants yeah. than the Trow, which
I feel
is
like they seem less grumpy. We know a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe that's just maybe the better route. I don't know.
I'm willing to go with your intuition on this one.
Yeah?
I don't feel like I have much of an opinion one way or the other. I feel like if the three of us put Stonehenge together, I'm trying to think of, like, what role each of the three of us played.
Well, here's what I think.
Okay.
Obviously, the giants were the ones who put the stones together.
Correct.
In the format.
With you there.
I think the goblins or the Trow maybe produced the stones, and perhaps the humans were the grand architects. Or maybe I have those second two reversed. Maybe the Trow were the grand architects, and we cut the stones for them.
Hmm.
I think either way, it broke down kind of that way.
So, giants lifted the stones.
Mm-hmm.
The humans designed the monument on this spot, in this formation,
yeah,
to channel the energy.
Or maybe the Trow did, who are more in tune with the Earth's energy than the humans are.
And the humans, like, cut the stones, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like the humans designed and the Trow, like, imbued with magic or something.
Oh, yeah, okay, okay.
Because they would have magic, right? Yeah. Where's the page that says, learn more about the Trow?
That would be great.
Right?
That would be wonderful right now.
Too bad we, like, ditched it when we wanted to learn more about the fairy.
No, we even went back and learned more about the fairies, and it didn't really seem to do much for us.
I know, it didn't.
Well, are we going to go to the giants?
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's go to the giants.
All right.
Hopefully, like, replacing that last stone will, like, fix everything. I don't know.
I hope so. The heel stone?
The heel stone.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the book back over to you.
All right. Okay.
This has gotten very interesting.
Well, we may be in trouble.
Yes.
So we tell the queen we're going to the giants.
Yep.
And she says, awesome, but first you gotta sleep here tonight. And so we do. And the night passes quickly, and the next morning Elaine greets us and says, hey, I've been announced as your companion to go on this
we're
trip
like,
to the giants.
Oh, thank you, Trevor.
Great. Great, just what we wanted.
Drag us all into this.
Yeah, well, we kind of, like, chose to.
Also true.
So, she leads us out a different entrance than when we came in. And we go outside and we walk, like, all day, but we don't seem to get very tired. And we see a bunch of farm animals, but never any humans or other fairies. And we're wondering at this point if we're still in England. Like, it seems to be Amesbury, but it isn't Amesbury,
it
so...
It is, and it isn't at the same time.
Yeah, it's all sorts of weird crap, man. And Elaine says that we're almost there, and we're at a plateau near a really high cliff, and large boulders are strewn about. And then smash! A giant boulder comes and lands next
smash,
to us.
Bang.
And we look up, and another one's coming, and we pull Elaine out of the way just in time. And this voice booms, and it says, you must play the game. What do you choose, brain or brawn? And we're like, WTF! And Elaine says, oh, the giants, how they love their games. I know this man. His name's Antares. And we're like, what does he want? And she says, well, he wants you to take a test. Giants love tests. You either have to battle his brains or his brawn. And I'll tell you, giants are known for their strength, not their brains. And we're like, okay. So if we decide to accept the giant's challenge to a test of brains, we turn to page 85. If we choose... pardon me. If we choose the challenge of giant in a test of strength, turn to page 90. Obviously, I feel like the test of brains is more in our favor.
I'm getting a very, like, Princess Bride-esque feel
from
this.
Yeah, maybe we should just call him Andre the Giant.
Like, if I knew that the poison was in front of my cup, I would know that you would have switched it with the poison that's in your cup. And therefore, the poison must be in the cup in front of me.
Yeah.
However.
Except that wasn't Andre.
I know, but if we went with the test of brains, that's what we would be in.
That's true.
Wits.
However, Wesley was able to overcome Andre the Giant in a test of brawn.
Truth.
Even though he did not have the upper hand.
Also true.
But again, Andre the Giant's character did give him a sporting chance because he thought it unfair. So the question is this giant as honorable as Andre the Giant?
I don't feel like he is.
I don't think like
don't
he is either.
Impression.
No, I definitely don't feel like
he's
going to be a
nice
fear.
Guy. If we go with the test of brains, and their giants are not smart.
Right.
If we win handily, that we might offend them in some... Like the giants want to win. Mm. Like, they're sore losers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't like being shown that they're dumb.
Okay.
Nor do they like being shown that they're weak. They like to be strong and giant.
I'm sure you're absolutely right. This is highly theoretical.
And highly.
And I would like to point out that, I mean, if we try the strength route, we're probably not going to win.
Unless the fairy helps us with magic.
She's not going to do that.
Probably not. She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. And the fairies and the giants already have kind of a hate-hate relationship.
Here's the thing. I think if we went a battle of wits, we could win.
Yeah.
I think we'd piss him off.
Okay. So is pissing him off better or worse than dying?
I don't think we'd die, though.
You don't think we'd die if we chose strength? A test of strength?
I think we'd lose the test.
But maybe gain his friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm, but what if we lose the test and get crushed by a giant boulder?
Then we have one more respawn.
Well, you drive a hard bargain.
I think test of strength. I feel like that's like the less obvious but more correct choice.
In a strange way, I understand what you're thinking and saying.
Right? Like, everyone would choose wits right. against dumb giants.
Right. Except.
Except.
For Cherrick.
Except for Cherrick, who, like, has experience with. And they're
yeah, he's smarter than
we're
that.
We're just gonna piss. Like, we need to make these giants feel good about being giants.
Maybe if we prove to this giant how strong of a normal man we are. He'll
sure.
respect us.
Also true, because they're good at strength. And
right.
They would respect someone who is also strong.
Absolutely.
Not near as strong as a giant,
no,
sir, by no means.
Not at all, no.
But strong in our own right, but certainly.
Yes. Okay. I'm convinced.
Strength.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We're turning to page 90, folks. We have chosen to challenge the giant in a test of strength. Oh, God. All right, folks.
Well,
we have challenged the giant to a battle of the brawn.
This really took a turn. It was an unexpected turn.
Well, you're not wrong, though, Chad. I think you hit it right on the head.
But go ahead. Tell him what happened.
We climb up the mountain, and Antares smashes a boulder as we climb up because Elaine is coming with us. And he's like, "The Fae can't come with you." So she leaves, and on the way up, we become tired again, and we wonder if it was Elaine with us that kept us awake and with so much energy all day. So we get to the top of the hill, and we're worn out.
Sure.
And we look around, and all we see is a large pile of boulders, until one of them opens its mouth and starts to speak, and then morphs, essentially like Transformer style, I'm imagining, into a large, large giant man with the skin of gray and hair thick and growing out of his head like clumps of moss.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to play a game of brawn. And so we're like, so he says, you choose, but it must be a game of brawn.
Yeah, like our choice. Brawn style game, our choice.
Right. And so we kind of size up Antares, and we see that his arms are kind of smaller than the rest of his body. And we say...
No, his arms are big, but the rest of his body is small.
No.
The other way?
They are massive compared to anything normal or human, but thin compared to his legs and trunk.
Oh, sure. Okay.
His head also is oddly small on top of his body. So we say, hey, how about this? I'm going to do a handstand. And you have to do one, too. And he says, I don't know what that is, but if it's not brawn, you get smashed. And we're hoping that he's joking. So we do a handstand, and we do a pretty good job. And he says, all right, well, I'm not sure that this is actually brawn, but he tries it 3 times, and he cannot do a handstand. And we're like, hey, I don't think you're actually as dumb as you look, Antares. And he says, maybe. One of my cousins could probably do this handstand, but not I. And why did the Fae send you? And so we tell them the queen sent us of a foretelling, because of a foretelling of doom, and she can't read everything from the Stonehenge because the energy is clogged, and we came to learn about it. And so he says he doesn't know much about the human Stonehenge because he's very young, but he knows where the real giant Stonehenge is, and he can take us to see that. Or he knows where Merlin lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that he has a...
Here, wait, time out.
Okay, pause.
There's a part I'm like, the fuck? Like, Merlin?
That's definitely like a...
Like, left field.
Out of the blue.
Where did Merlin come from?
Well, obviously, he had something to do with the Stonehenge, Chad.
My gosh.
But, yeah, so the giants did the heavy lifting, and the Trow did the finish work. He says he's not sure what us humans are for, but maybe they counted Merlin as a human, even though he isn't. So this giant, Antares, is going to take us to one of them. So if we want to go to look for Merlin, we turn to page 105, and if we want to find out, to check out the giant's hinge for clues on how to fix the human Stonehenge, we turn to page 109.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is kind of a tricky one.
Okay, does he say look for Merlin or they know where Merlin is?
He says, I also know where Merlin lives. He hasn't been around much lately, but he supposedly was one who helped design the hinges.
Personally, as Chad, I'm so fascinated with, like, Merlin and Arthur. And, like, that whole Camelot scene.
Yeah.
That I really want to... Like, if I was reading this book just as me,
yeah,
I would choose that in a heartbeat.
See, I'm really curious about this giant Stonehenge. Like, is it different than our Stonehenge?
Like, maybe do each of the three people have their own hinges that work in tandem? Like... There's the human hinge and the trial hinge and the giant hinge.
So for sure, I think that it seems like we're in Amesbury, but we're not really. So we're obviously in like some
like
different plane.
A different plane
of Amesbury, right? So there's the human plane, there's the giant plane, there's the trial plane. And obviously, I think you can reach all of these from the underground tunnels because we went out that door and it was 1844. And so you can travel different places. So I feel that's what's happening here. And I don't know if looking at the giant's hinge will help us. So maybe Merlin would actually have more information if he was there at the building of them.
For the building.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be the guy to go to.
You're not wrong. That actually, now that I say that, that makes a lot of sense.
Like, go to the guy who built it.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams.
What? It's not a Chad original.
No, it is. It's a Chad original saying. If you build it, they will come.
All right.
I came up with that all on my own.
Oh, you're so original.
Original. Okay, what are we doing? Which page are we turning to?
I think we're gonna turn to page 105 to see Merlin.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll let you have it back.
Yeah, I want to read about Merlin.
Yeah, I know you do, buddy. All right, here we go. Oh my God, that son of a bitch. I can't even believe it.
What? Oh my God.
That is not at all what I was... Oh my God.
Jesus with Merlin.
Wow.
You knew we would jump on Merlin.
I did not. Wow. Of all the things that could have happened, man. Okay, Chad. What did happen?
So we went to Merlin's cave. We rode in Antares' backpack. And we fell asleep. It was, like, lined with sheep's wool. It was, like, the best blanket you've ever had.
Mm.
And we fell asleep, and we get there, and we're like, I wonder if Elaine's, like, been following us or not. We're like, okay, we'll figure it out. And Terrence is like, Merlin's in there. I can tell. He's in there. In this, like, big, dark, deep cave, which is, like, so big that it makes Antara seem small.
And naturally, we believe him.
And we're like, hey, no, I believe you, dude. We're good. Let's go and check it out. Let's find Merlin. And we're locking, and we're walking, and we see, like stalactites and stalagmites and, like, other rock formations.
It's going on forever.
And after a while, we see, like, a path of, like, crushed stone. And we feel better about the direction that we're going. You know, we're like, oh, cool. We're going the right way. And Antares goes, uh-oh. And we're like, what? We're like, the fuck's going on? And before you, like, before us, we see the body of a man frozen in crystal, with a calm expression on his face. And we think that it's Merlin.
Yeah, we definitely get the sense that it's Merlin.
Mm-hmm. And then we notice a lot of other chunks of rock behind him, all with bodies inside of them. But
they have,
but none of them are calm.
Terrified expressions.
They all have terrified expressions. And just as we notice all of these things, we turn around and hear a sweet voice saying, quote, the fools always come like crows to rancid meat. And then the last thing we feel is our feet turning to crystal as we try to scream. And the last thing we hear is Elaine yelling our name as she flies into the cave. End quote. The end.
You know, at least that proves that Elaine was really our friend.
We also got trapped in crystal.
Here's my question, though. Did Antares not know what was going on? His uh-oh is either, like, an obvious fake because he's led us into this dubious trap.
No, I feel like it was honest. I feel like he didn't know.
But then what's happening down here? Like, why are all these people frozen in crystal, including us?
I don't know. Strange female, you know, enemy.
Son of a bitch.
I don't feel like Antares, like, led us astray.
That was my first instinct. When you said,
no, I feel
you
like
fools
he was...
returned to blah, 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 like rancid meat, I thought for sure that he had betrayed us. But now that you read that again, like, I don't feel like that's the case.
It's, the voice was not human, but we could understand it.
Okay. So it wasn't Antares.
Mm-mm.
I wonder if he was turned to crystal, too.
We're not sure.
I guess we don't know, because we were turned to crystal.
Mm-mm.
That's a bummer. Well, folks, thankfully, we still have one respawn.
We haven't used very many.
Well, this is our second one.
And we've been going for a bit here.
And unlike the first one, our second respawn is consistent in the fact that we have to go back to the choice that we just made previously.
Yeah, right.
So the first one, we can choose any of the ones that we'd been to before. The second respawn must go back to the decision previously made.
Right, so we can't just go back to any old decision. Like, we, like, took one, like, completely alternate path, which was really just the same path that we could have taken. Whatever. It doesn't matter this time. The second time around.
Yeah.
We can only go back to the other choice that we just made, and we're going to take the alternate.
So we got enticed by Merlin. Faked out
by Merlin. I'm going to let Eric read this.
Because we're going to check out the Giant's Stonehenge.
Hells yeah, we are.
What was that, Chad?
Son of a bitch, I said!
But Well, for sure, folks, this one kind of led us on a long and windy path towards something that could have been cool, but again, ended up being
our end. Like, twists and turns and giants and fairies and all for naught.
So, we go to Stone,
we could be on page 3, and this book has the same ending.
But that happens a lot. You can't be that surprised. Come on.
I'm annoyed, not surprised.
Okay, annoyed is fair. Hey, folks.
Catch him up. What happened in the last 27 minutes of this book?
Folks, Antares takes us to reach the giant's Stonehenge, which is called Giddenhenge.
Giddenhenge.
Giddenhenge. Possibly.
Potentially.
And
there's a lot of Y's.
Yeah,
in there.
There's some Y's and a T and an N and a G and all sorts of things. And a hinge. We know that part's right.
Yeah, we got that.
And we get to this place and it's enormous, and in the middle we spot a fire burning. And Antares kind of kneels over and says a quick prayer, humbly requesting entrance into this hinge. And then a voice returns from inside the circles. And it is Freya, who is apparently like this kind of soothsayer woman who lives inside the Giddenhenge, who's not a giant. She's more human-sized, but doesn't appear to be a human. Maybe she's kind of like Merlin in that sense, if he was actually ever a real thing in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of invites us to sit down, and so we're all sitting around the fire. And Antares says that he's surprised to see her, otherwise he wouldn't have brought a human, and she says that it's okay, and she wants to know why we're here. And while we fail to actually tell her because we're stuttering and terrified, Antares says that the Fae Queen sent us to, inquire about the Stonehenge, know why it was clogged, and try to figure out what was wrong. And so Freya, who is kind of the overseer at this point, is like, hey, look, there are several problems. The Giddenhenge and the Stonehenge were built together as energy vortexes. She kind of goes through all this backstory of, if people... Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are real things. And if enough people think the same thing, good or bad, like that bad thing could come to happen.
Actually in the physical realm.
And like the henges were built to help like channel those like good or bad things, or like channel the bad things like away.
So absolutely, they were kind of there to remedy some of the bad energy, until the inhabitants of the Earth and the parallel Earth.
So
bingo, we were pretty much
Eric
on point
was
with that.
On point.
What's
with
up?
That. We saw that coming.
So until we learned to channel our energies in a more positive direction, these hinges were built in order to help us keep away the bad. We don't really understand everything, but we know that Twig will be excited to hear about all of this.
And like the thing is, like our Stonehenge, the heel stone is like,
is super
important.
We know
it's missing, and it's super important. Like, our right. thing has been, like, not working correctly,
right.
and has been, like, getting clogged up.
Things
which is
were moving
why,
forward until
like,
the heel stone was taken.
The fairy queen, like, can't see the future.
Exactly.
You know, and whatever. Like,
yep.
we find out the heel stone's super important. There's two Earths. Like, there's a giant Stonehenge. There are Stonehenge.
So, she doesn't actually tell us anything about the heel stone. Or why or where it has gone missing to.
Nope.
But what she does say is really encouraging. She's like, good thoughts yield good things. And in the future, no matter how dark it seems, like, things can always change as long as thoughts change. And
great.
With that,
thanks.
She stands up and she says, hey, look, it's time for you to go back to where you're from. You've got work to do. And so she puts her thumb on our chest, and we feel a heat that spreads through our arms and legs, and a bolt of tingling shocks us. And we wake up lying on our back in a green field. And we sit up and it's the car park. It's the Stonehenge. And the sun is rising behind us. And we're sitting in a small depression in the earth. And we realize that this is where the Heelstone once stood. And then we ask ourselves, where's Twig?
We've got work to do.
Yeah, let's start working on this stuff.
This is like the prequel to like stuff we have to do to fix Stonehenge. Choose Your Own Adventure number 77.
Where you actually fix Stonehenge. So.
No, this was a good book. I'm happy with it.
We didn't find the Heelstone, no. Or Alistair, for that matter.
No idea.
Yeah, we didn't really accomplish the goal that we were set out with by Twig in the beginning.
Not even a little bit.
But
fairies and giants.
We had a lot of exciting adventures.
We know a lot more about Stonehenge than anybody else.
I mean, we know a shit ton about the mystical and strange world surrounding Stonehenge.
Yeah, but...
I wonder if that...
Total fail on
I
mission.
I wonder if Elaine knew, like, that she was so inviting to us to go down under there and visit with all the other fairies. Like, she had to know that we were there with a purpose, don't you think? Like, I can't imagine that request would come very often.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Also, they're kind of tricksters.
That's very true. Maybe she was just manipulating us from the very beginning.
Just to, like, have some fun because she was bored.
Because
that's what fays do.
They get bored?
She's my fay.
She's my fay. You didn't give a shit about her.
No, that's true. I don't.
She tried to save us, man. She was too late. But she tried to save us from that crystalline death.
She tried to save us from the crystalline death by the mysterious force, which may or may not have been her.
It wasn't her. She tried to fly him and save us.
That would be a likely excuse.
Oh, come on. Come on. If they had just wanted to kill us, they would have done it when we were eating all their food.
That's also true.
Yeah, good grief, Chad. Come on.
Anyway, this has been a long one.
Yeah, we definitely got through
but,
it, man.
But yeah, we read a lot of this book. Choose Your Own Adventure number
19. Yeah, forecast from Stonehenge. We got the forecast, but we did not fix it.
We got the forecast, that's true.
But there's hope. At the end, there's hope. We have things to do.
Yeah.
And so do you. If you like this podcast, folks, please share it with your friends. How about that?
That's a smooth transition.
Right? How was that?
That was pretty good, right?
You folks got a mission. Ours is to save the world from the foreboding death that came from Stonehenge as part of a vision. And yours is to
rate and review us on iTunes.
Which is super important.
It's super important.
It's pretty much like life or death.
Just take 2 minutes, get out there, rate and review us on iTunes. It will help us so, so, so much.
And
you can't believe how thankful we'll be to each of you who go out and do it.
And you will feel so good inside. And your heart will be full with love and charity.
Completely full.
We hope so anyway.
My heart will be full.
My heart is full right now. That was great.
Yeah.
I certainly enjoyed myself. Certainly hope you did too, folks. So that was it. Episode 12. Forecast from Stonehenge.
Another one in the books.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Oh. In the books. Yeah. It's a book. No, we read that book.
We read books.
And we made those decisions.
We did.
All right.
Well, it's been real, y'all. We'll see you next time for
Sounds
another
perfect.
Episode of What Would Cherick Do?